Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
You ready?
Welcome to duty, Commander.
Let's go!
Go, go, go! Enemy forces spotted. Follow me, men. Watch out, grenade! Man down, man down! All right, you're good to go.
Thanks, much appreciated.
All clear. Mission under control. Out.
We've regained control. Good work, men.
You've been recommended for promotion. Promotion.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into the wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead.
Yeah, I'm here with you, and you're listening to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. The number here is 657-383-1908. Let's get some things off the chest, right off the cuff. And it is a fine Thursday here in Tennessee. That's where we're broadcasting from. You can catch me in a lot of different places. I'm all over. I'm spread thin like molasses, okay? But you can catch me at Bing Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, at gmail.com, Bing at traditionalamericanmovement.com. You can catch our show page on American by Design on Facebook. We got a Facebook page over there. We got a new website that I'm going to be talking about later in depth about what we're doing on that website. Again, the number here to call in and speak with me is 657-383-1908. And we are sponsored by the fine ladies over there at Traditional American Patriot Network. Truly love them. Rebooting Liberty Radio, Internet Conservative Radio Network. And the trying to look for some of my notes. There we go. We do have a action-packed show today. Sorry, I'm speaking on the side of my mouth. In the 1 hour that it takes for me to do this show every week, we will have committed 65 abortions. I'm sorry. Every life matters, right? 90 million will be added to the national debt. There would have been 12 murders and 11 rapes committed. And there's cops just raging war, or not cops, but people raging war on the cops because they just hate them. They don't like them, and the leftist base has been ginning up the their base to basically hate cops. We just had a guy up here locally to me that shot at a cop, and man, everything broke loose. It was crazy. Everything just broke loose, and they just ran. I mean, the cops were after this dude. The guy was doing like 90 miles an hour down the road here around from where I work up in White County, Tennessee, and it was nuts. They finally ended up they ended up cornering, basically, and shooting and killing him. But and he was a white guy, by the way, so you won't hear that on Fox News, and you won't hear that on CNN and all that kind of stuff. So you won't see all that or hear all that. I'm trying to figure out tonight. Oh, yeah. Tonight we got guest Larry Taunton, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. And Christopher Hitchens, I read this book and I started reading it and I could not put it down. It was like, it's one of those books where you just get interested in, you know, it starts building and building and building, like a, you know, when you used to roll the little snowball down the hill and it would get bigger and bigger and then it would just crash into something. And that's how this book is to me. And if you know me, I read some books and they've got to really interest me for me to get into them. And just a complicated man. And he's Larry Taunton, the author, wrote this, and he's an evangelical Christian, and he spent time with Christopher Hitchens. And, you know, he's one of the four horse riders of the apocalypse of the new atheism order in this world. And it was unbelievable how these two men kind of coexisted. And I guess we'll talk more about that later when we get him on at 7:15, which I have to make sure I dial out for him here. But thanks for everybody in chat, and thanks for everybody for joining in and listening to the show. We're also going to talk about, Democrats, we'll talk about this a little bit later maybe, the Democrats call for a day of reason. And I'm reading this article, you know, from the Examiner, and they didn't want a day of reason. And I'm thinking that's, you know, it's kind of hypocritical. We got the fight for the $15 minimum wage law across the country, and, you know, the unions and so on. And we'll talk about that too. It's all tied to the unions, okay? The minimum wage law is tied to the unions, so the more money they can get out of the minimum wage, the more their dues increases, the more money they get from their members, and it just spiralates. It just keeps going on. We're also going to talk about How Bizarre segment. We're going to talk about a couple things on there, but now I'll just tease you with that. But it's going to be it's going to be fun. You're going to have fun on the show, and you're going to learn something. Hopefully, you'll learn something, and hopefully, I'll learn something, because that's what this show is about. That's what this show is all about. It's all about trying to be light. You know, we don't want to get heavy all the time, but sometimes we do. And with the new book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, I mean, it's a heavy book. It's a heavy book, but it's not one that you cannot read easily. I mean, it's actually well written. I was really surprised. And I've got some questions for the author, Larry Taunton, about Hitchens and about how he got raised the way he was, and a couple other things. I mean, he's very intricate, complicated person, this Christopher Hitchens was. And I have to say, I did not even know he existed before I started reading this book, and I started doing some research on it, and I'm going, man, this guy was like a real, he wasn't a nice guy in some aspects, but in some aspects he kind of was. You know, so this evangelical Christian gets on board with them and does like two or three cross-country trips with him, and spends time with him, and, you know, hobnobs with him and that kind of thing. And it's amazing what transpires out of this, and how everybody interacts, because there's so many people involved in one life. You know, you look at your own life. I mean, there's so many people involved in your life, but when it comes to other people, it's you have to realize there's a lot of other people involved in your life too that you don't even know, you know. So we'll take that as it is. But we'll talk to him at a quarter after, as soon as I can get him on the phone, when we take a break. And I wanted to say I'm a grandfather again. Well, not again yet. It's just that they found out the sex of the child, and it's from my son, and it's a boy, and I think they're going to have it in September or something like that. So out of 6 kids between me and my wife, I've got 9, I'll have 9 grandchildren, and I only got 1 girl out of all of them. You know, after my son's wife has her baby, that'll be 9, and all of them are males except for 1 female, and that was on my daughter's side. So it's kind of strange how things work out, isn't it? I mean, you know, the male, I guess, predicts the genes as far as what the sex of the baby is going to be. From what I've heard, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you can call me at 657-383-1908 and tell me if I'm wrong. But that's what I've heard. On the website, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I'm making quite a bit of progress. I mean, a lot of it is like back end stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to figure out things that are not working right together. They're not playing right. And, you know, it comes down to the adage of what I'm using to write this site is WordPress. And it's like you got to buy everything, you know, or not everything, but some things you have to, you know, to get a good plugin or a good template or good whatever. And it kind of reminds me of Barbie. And I keep going back to, if Barbie is so popular, right? If Barbie is so popular, then why do you got to keep calling her or buying her friends all the time? Why do you got to keep buying her friends? If she's so popular, then why do you got to buy them? Why do you got to buy Ken? Why do you got to buy, you know, whoever else hangs out with Barbie? I mean, you know, come on, give me a break, you know. So we're going to touch on that a little bit later in the show. But right now what I want to do is we'll go ahead and take a break, and I'll try to call Larry, and we'll get him on the show. So I appreciate everybody in chat. I've got so many windows open, I can't get to everybody right now. So please bear with me for a second until I get some of this calmed down, because some of this is a little bit strenuous, and you know, it's a one man kind of deal right now. But I do wish to thank the ladies at Traditional American Patriot Network for putting on this show and giving me the opportunity to get my voice out and get heard. And we'll when we come back from this break, we'll be hopefully talking to Larry Taunton, author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, executive director of Fixed Point Foundation, who defends Christian faith. And we'll talk to him about this this atheist and see what he can enlighten us on. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in about 3.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER, the OC, nothing on a CD, TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every black-eyed pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're going to die, bro. Then where are you going to go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant, like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
This is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing very
and another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thanks to her, the pen blast. The gossip, my heart stops. I won't waste another moment wishing that I would have told you. At least it's in the open. And I'm glad you know that no one else can satisfy this part of mine. No one else can fill the hole that's in my soul. Everyone needs someone to love, and I need someone to. No one else will do. Oh girl, I just wanted to be you. Oh girl, I just wanted to be you. Oh girl, I just wanted to be you.
Welcome back to American by Design with your host, Ben Fisher. Number here is 657-383-1908. And I finally got Larry Taunton, the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, from Fixed Point Foundation, executive director over there. And Larry, thank you and welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you.
And, I you know, after reading this book, I started reading this book, and... it's kind of like certain books attract my attention, and this one really did. And I was looking at this man, and he, as far as Christopher Hitchens goes, you know, just a total atheist, and you know, one of the four horsemen of the new atheism. And I'm going, this man is complicated, and just he's like a disturbed, and he's calculating. Man, and I'm thinking, reading this book as, you know, a writer myself in some aspects, and I'm going, you must have been exhausted after writing this book. I mean, you had to take a few months off, because I was looking at this, reading this book, and I'm going, I don't see how you could have done it, you know? And how did you do this and not get burnt out?
Yeah, the book itself, you have to forgive me, my big German Shepherd is suddenly decided to start barking. He's been silent all afternoon, but now that I've gone on air, he's decided that now is the time to bark at nothing in particular. In any case, the book was difficult to write, and It was very difficult to write, and I was actually very reluctant to rewrite it because I knew how difficult it would be to write. I mean, it's a difficult line to walk in apologetics. That is to say, you know, in defending the faith, because on the one hand you want to defend your beliefs, and on the other hand you want to be gentle and respectful, as 1 Peter 3:15 you know urges us to do. And that's a difficult tightrope. In a similar way, writing a book like this is difficult because I did not want to desecrate the memory of Christopher Hitchens. Any damage to his reputation, I think he did to himself in writing Hitch 22. But I did want to pull back the cover just a little bit to give readers some insight into who this man was, and to let them see that the man who was on stage was often a very different man who was off of it.
Right. And now you talk about in his family and so on, and how his father was, you know, decorated and so on, veteran. And they had a lot of, I mean, I was starting to look at this. It's just so confusing in some aspects because he went to Oxford. It wasn't like he led a sheltered life in a way, but he had a confusing life, did he not? On his home ground?
I think he did, but I don't think that had anything to do with his education. Christopher Hitchens, for those in your audience who don't know who he was, Christopher Hitchens was an English-born, 1949, and in 1964, at the age of 15, he literally burned his Bible. He declared himself a communist, went to Oxford University, and there he protested the Vietnam War and any number of other things. And for the next roughly 40 years, you name the leftist cause, and Christopher Hitchens was there to take up the standard along with others, the other usual suspects on the left. But something changed, and the first change came in Christopher's life in 2001, September 11th, set something off deep inside him, and Christopher broke with the left politically. He became something of a neocon. Many in your audience who will know who he was will recall his support of the George W. Bush administration and the war in Iraq. But then in 2007, he published his best-selling book, God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. And in doing so, Christopher began a kind of spiritual journey. I mean, here he was, a man who had written a book that was a rant against all things religious. But part of his publicity campaign for promoting the book was to debate all religious challengers. And Muslims didn't take him up on that. Hindus didn't take him up on that. Very few Jews did, though some did. But evangelical Christians did en masse. And so Christopher found himself engaging a lot of evangelicals. I was one of them. And Christopher discovered that the Beltway or the Manhattan caricature of evangelicals didn't as neatly fit the reality. And he discovered that he liked them, or at least some of them. And so he became friends with people like Francis Collins, the celebrated geneticist and evangelical Christian, Doug Wilson, a pastor and theologian, and with me. And after his diagnosis with cancer, esophageal cancer, which Christopher knew was a death sentence, he would take two very lengthy road trips with me where, ironically, we would study the Gospel of John.
Right. I mean, was that hard for you to do with an atheist? I mean, with an atheist?
Not at all.
No, I'm just wondering. about how you felt about that. I mean, was it difficult? I know it was difficult at times with his drinking and so on and that kind of stuff, but was it difficult as a person to sit there in the same car going to Yellowstone, going to all these places that you want, with a man that was actually, you know, in some respects, some would call your enemy?
Yeah, well, you know, he wasn't my enemy. As a Christian, I don't view him like that. I might view him as someone whose arguments I want to take down. But Christopher Hitchens as a person, I never viewed in that way. And by the way, all of this is in this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. You know, we all have a faith of some kind.
Right.
It may be in Bernie Sanders, it may be in Donald Trump, it may be in your 401k, or it may be in God, but we all have faith in something. And Christopher had faith in something. And this book explores that. But no, I enjoyed Christopher's company. Even if he said many things that I found completely outrageous or occasionally offensive, and maybe it's because I've been specially equipped for this. I mean, I grew up in a home where my father was a chain smoking alcoholic. I'm used to that kind of environment. Christopher Hitchens wasn't shocking to me. I mean, my father was a career soldier. I think he could out-cuss Christopher Hitchens fairly effectively. And so all that is by way of saying, Christopher Hitchens was a guy that in a sense I could understand and get along with. And as Christians, we're called to engage people on the other side. And this book is offering a way of doing that. The book is a story. And, you know, I find this really incredible. I can never hope for this to happen again. This book has been endorsed by such people as Ravi Zacharias, who loved this book, a New York Times bestselling author and Christian radio host, Eric Metaxas. But two nights ago, I was on MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews, who certainly is not a right-winger or an evangelical Christian, and Chris Matthews said everyone should read this book. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story of friendship. And in writing it, what my objective was, I mean, we increasingly live in a society where we're so divided and where we've lost our ability to engage with people who disagree with us.
Right,
And the Lord says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together.
Right.
You know, there are people that you and I will never be able to reason with. I mean, they seem to follow me on Twitter. They're so militant, they're so hostile, they're shriekers that you're just never going to reach. But there are other people, be they atheists, be they Muslim, something else, that are rational and reasonable people with whom we can engage if we're rational and reasonable, and if we see truth not as our enemy but as our companion. And, you know, in a conversation with Christopher Hitchens, I didn't think everything he said was outrageous or wrong. There would
right.
be things he would say that I'd go, oh, wow, you know, that's something I got to think about. And I think he likewise. And so I developed a real concern for him. He was dying. He was dying of esophageal cancer. My concern for his soul was such that I wanted to share the gospel with him. And Christopher, for his own part, seemed determined to give me that opportunity.
He did. He seemed like he liked you. I mean, as you said, he liked to debate the evangelicals and that kind of thing. But going through your book, I mean, not to give anything away on it, really, that you don't want to give away, but when I got to your daughter, Sasha, I think it was on page 124. I got a lump in my throat when I read that passage. And if you want to comment on that, you can. Also, it was amazing to me that Christopher had two books, one for the public and one for the private. And that's a lot like a lot of people in this world, isn't it? But Go ahead.
Yes, Christopher spoke of himself. He said in an interview, we're all divided selves, of course, but I think it's particularly strong in my case. And he used the metaphor two books. He said he was a man of two books. Now, that metaphor is a reference to a fraudulent kind of bookkeeping. It means that you know, there's the public book, there's the public accounts, but then, you know, in Enron-like fashion, there's the private accounts that tell the real story, the real balance. And what Christopher meant by that is there's a public manifestation of me, and there's a private manifestation of me. And if you got Christopher away from the stage, away from the cameras, away from the audience, you found he was something very different, and it enabled me to build a real relationship with him and to have the opportunity. I mean, you got to picture this. This is marvelous stuff that I talk about in this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, which, by the way, is available everywhere that it hasn't already sold out. But
yeah.
You know, here we are driving through the Shenandoah Valley. And here I am, the conservative evangelical, driving, and there he is sitting in the passenger seat of my car with a Johnny Walker Black Label Scotch squeezed between his knees, his reading glasses perched on the end of his nose, and he's reading aloud from the Gospel of John. I don't know how many Bible studies you've attended where they serve Scotch. This was my first, so it was. It was remarkable. And as for my daughter, Sasha, I wrote a previous book about her. In fact, I was writing it at the time that I knew Christopher. And so Christopher read it. And that book is called The Grace Effect. Some in your audience may have read it. And it's the story of my daughter, Sasha, who was abandoned at birth and spent the first almost 11 years of her life in three different orphanages, and we adopted her. And Sasha is HIV positive. She was born with that disease. And Christopher was very powerfully moved by his interactions with Sasha, who is the boldest evangelist I know. She loves people. She's gentle by nature. She takes almost nothing for granted. I mean, she can be a typical teenage girl. I mean, she's 17 now, but Sasha had quite an effect on Christopher.
It seems so. I mean, it looks like she put him pretty much in his tracks. And like I said, when I got to that chapter, and you talking about this now, I mean, it just puts a lump in my throat. You know that she put him in his tracks. I mean, he had to step back, you know, and he did. It seemed like he was contemplating something at that time when she had interacted, when he told him that she was HIV and had to have some teeth pulled. And so I don't know. I mean, it just seemed very, it just put a lump in my throat is all I got to say. It was a very
sure,
good chapter.
Sasha's story is powerful. Story, and it was powerful in Christopher Hitchens' thinking.
In what way do you think? I mean,
did he reflect
on something, or did he see something that he maybe, because it seems like faith it seems to me like he had a problem with pride. And, you know, as you say in your book, you know, the pride of his life, you know, being this atheist, this big staunch atheist and so on. And then, you know, at the end, you know, maybe not having the courage to admit that he wasn't as much of an atheist as he was.
Well, no, I think Christopher, I mean, he was really an atheist. But Christopher, I think what the powerful effect of Sasha on him was that, the realization that, you know, that this was maybe a glimpse at a real religion. And that meant something to him, seeing what seemed to be a very real kind of faith. And that had a powerful effect on him.
Well, you obviously had a powerful effect on him too. So you can get this book, and I know I've taken you further out than what I was supposed to allot you for, but I mean, if you can hang out with me, I'd love to talk to you more about this, but I know you probably got other things to do. This book is available on Amazon.
I think I have about 10 more minutes.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great, because I really, this book, it was like when I started reading it, I still got a lump in my throat, by the way, but when I started reading it, I could not put it down. When you two debated, we're talking to Larry Taunton, the author of the Faith of Christopher Hitchens, and you're from Fixed Point Foundation.
That's right. Executive director.
Now, why don't we deviate from the book just a little bit and tell us about Fixed Point Foundation and how we can find you guys and so on. I'm sure you got links over there.
Sure.
To the book, so my listeners
sure,
know that.
Sure, you can. You just go to Larry Alex Taunton, T-A-U-N-T-O-N, LarryAlexTaunton.com. And if you go there, you'll find all my interviews, my interview on Hardball, my interview on Fox, various others. You can find them all there. You can also find the book as well as my previous book. You can also find our debates and other resources that I think your listeners will find very useful, very helpful.
Oh, that's great. You were just on, I think, 2 days ago with my buddy Phil Valentine on his show over there in Nashville. So
that's right. I sure was.
Yeah. Did he treat you right? Because I
didn't
catch you, but Phil's a great guy. I love him, man. Just a great guy in Nashville. Now, getting back to your last interview with Hitch, okay, we'll just call him Hitch because that's what everybody was calling him in your book. I mean, who won out of that? Who really won out of that? Because I was reading that last interview, and it seemed like you scored a couple points with him. And
You're talking about our on-stage debate.
Yeah, debate. I'm sorry. I said interview.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to judge. I mean, I certainly had a lot of people tell me they thought I won that debate. But I'm sure Christopher had plenty of his fans tell him, you know, exactly the same thing. I think that debates are a very difficult thing to judge. And the reason for that is this. Having moderated, participated in and organized several of them, you know, very famously, you know, the Kennedy-Nixon debate, those who saw it said Kennedy won. Those who listened to it said Nixon won. I think that it depends on what you're looking for. Christopher was a polished debater, but he was very humorous and certainly the bigger celebrity on the stage than I was. He was off topic all night. He was carrying on about the theocratic regime in Iran and Islamic circumcisions of women and things like this.
Yeah.
We weren't debating any of that, and I was in complete agreement with him on that. We were debating whether a society was better off with Christian influence or atheistic influence, and I don't think Christopher made his argument very well at all in that case, because he really didn't address the issue. But for me, it never really was about winning as such. That is to say, at the end of the day, what I wanted to win was Christopher's soul, not so much an argument.
Right. And at the end of the day, that's the thing for a Christian person, you know, to proselytize and so on. And, you know, looking back, like I said, I did not know that much about Christopher, you know, before I started, you know, reading your book and then doing some research. And I'm like, man, this guy was pretty hardcore. I mean, he grew up in just a weird type situation in some aspects, but some aspects he had it very well, you know. But at the end of the day, you were his friend, and he trusted in you more so than some of his closest people around him. And I found that to be just totally exhilarating, really. I thought you did a great job in helping him to get to where he wanted to be. And where he wanted to be might not have been where you wanted him to be, but it was where he could go on his own, I guess. I mean, does that sound like a fair assumption? I mean, you knew him a lot better than me, you know, of course.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, all we can do is present the truth of the gospel, and then we can't make anyone believe. And so in my case, I did the best I could to answer his questions, to present him the truth. And the story of this is, you know, is really powerful stuff. It's in this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, in a chapter called The Shenandoah. And very interesting and also difficult. But where Christopher ultimately lands, where anybody ultimately lands, really depends on the decisions they make for themselves.
Well, of course. I mean, it's all, you know, it's a leap. It's faith. That's why it's called faith, you know. And Christopher seemed like he was kind of teetering on the edge, is what it sounded like to me in the book, anyways. And, you know, of course, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Now, do you still keep, like, his brother Peter is a evangelical, you know, that kind of thing. Do you keep in touch with the family at all in any way? Or
I do with Peter. Communicate with him, and when I'm in London, try to see him. I'm not with other members of the family.
Right. Now, what did you ever interview Peter at all? You know,
yes,
I know
you can find my interview with him on iTunes.
Okay. And what did you think? I mean, what was the split there exactly? As we come
what do you mean? But between brothers?
Yeah, between the brothers. I mean, you allude to some of this in the book, but I mean, I'm trying to nail it down. Like, I mean, was it just a totally ideological type of split between the two, or was it? It was cozy relationship kind of thing in some aspects.
Well, certainly a lot of siblings are at odds with one another, and to that extent, that's not unusual. Christopher would attribute it to an accident of birth. He would say that because they were only 18 months apart, that put them in a place of competition frequently. I will say that late in life, it was very ideological because Christopher was an atheist and Peter was a Christian. And so that immediately meant they were going to be at odds with one another.
Yeah. Well, Larry, I'm coming up against the 45-minute break here, but thank you for giving
Thanks
me
Thanks so much for having me.
Because I tell you what, it's a very interesting book. I mean, if you want to get inside the head of an atheist, please go and get this book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, and it's from Larry Taunton. And, Larry, thank you so much for being on the show tonight on American by Design.
Hey, thank you. You have a good evening.
Oh, you have a blessed evening. And please keep more of these books coming because we love to read them. We definitely do.
Very good.
And
thanks so much.
6.1pointfoundation.com, and let's go there and check out his book. And on the back side of this break, we'll go ahead and we're going to talk about the website a little bit. I only got 15 minutes left, and I really appreciate Larry for hanging on with me that much longer. So I just got to tell you that the more people that come listen to the show, the more people we can get on the air and so on. But if you do wish to call, it's 657-383 1908, and we'll be right back.
Shada boom, bada bing bang boom.
Boom. Boom. With your host, Ben Fisher. I've had a rough day, man. It's just been one thing after another, and it's kind of like I'm waiting for NXS to come in and say, it's one thing leads to another, yeah, you know. And anyways, I can close out a few of these windows here that I've got open. But, yeah, it's a very good book with Larry Taunton, and it just takes you on like almost a roller coaster ride in a way, because Christopher Hitchens was just a strange, in some ways perverted person, and maybe it was partly how he grew up, maybe it was partly whatever, but according to the author, it was it was just him, it just the way he was, just rebellious youth and so on. So I don't know, and maybe it wasn't, but the thing is that we'll never know. I was looking at my, or thinking about my father when I was reading this book, and he never really had a come to Jesus moment, that kind of stuff. But he, I know he believed in certain things, and I don't know, not to get too personal, it's just that, on his deathbed, or there was nothing to be said because he had a stroke, so his brain was pretty much fried. But before that, the night before, I kissed him and told him, good night, Dad, and you don't look that good, and he said, I'm fine, and the next thing I know, the next morning, he's had a major stroke. So it's some of these books that I get from some of these people, they tear me up, and some of them don't. So I thought this Larry Taunton, author, and very good author, actually, and that book tore me up. So that's why I wanted to get him on. But anyways, we're coming up onto 10 minutes before. Excuse me, I shouldn't be doing that. I should cut my mic before I do that. But Dems call for National Day of Reason, and this is from the Washington Examiner, the truth of all truths, okay? And two House Democrats have proposed a resolution calling on the government to recognize May 5th as the National Day of Reason, when people should use and this is what gets me. The Washington Examiner needs to hire better editorial people or something. Now, this is how this paragraph reads. Two House Democrats have proposed a resolution calling on the government to recognize May 5th as a National Day of Reason, comma, when people should use to focus on critical thought. No, it should be which people should use to focus, not when, which, okay? The scientific method and free inquiry to the resolution of human problems. The resolution recognizes the use of reason for the betterment of humanity and says reason is a critical component of human life. the application, they even spelt that wrong. The application of reason has proven the, they spelt the wrong, okay, to offer hope for human survival upon Earth, improving conditions upon which within the universe and cultivating intellect, moral, and ethical interactions among people and their environments. The resolution reads, the resolution says that those who wrote the Constitution based it on principles developed in the age of reason and said most citizens of the country purport to value reason and its application. So what are the, you know, look, this is hypocritical to me because you've got Democrat, you've got liberal Democrats that are out there saying that they want a national day of reason. I'm sorry, it don't fly here. There is no such thing as a national day of reason with Democrat liberals. They don't reason anything. Their national day of reason should be, okay, are we going to get a Big Mac today, or are we going to go to Wendy's and get a double stack? Or are we going to go over to Wendy's? Maybe we'll go to Wendy's and get that that pot burger, that pot, you know, bacon burger they got over there. You know, I mean, that's their critical thinking. That is the rationale of a liberal critical thinking, is what are we going to eat today? All right. We got the fight, you know, for $15 minimum wage, you know, and you got California and New York already caved in on this crap, and just watch the businesses fall and flee and go away from New York and California, and more businesses ought to, because then New York and California might sit up and go, well, dude, I guess we made a mistake here, you know. Billboards in Times Square showing bright on Thursday morning as hundreds of workers huddled in front of a nearby McDonald's. The early hour of 6 a.m. was not enough to dim the joyous feel of this gathering, taking place just weeks after California and New York became the first states to raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2022. Dig it. 2022, they'll be at $15 an hour. God, these people are freaking insane. The fight, however, is far from over. Say workers whose goal is to secure a $15 minimum wage for all Americans on Thursdays. Everybody should get $15. Well, why stop at $15, you stupid idiots? Why not just go for broke and go for like $25, $35 an hour, go for $100 an hour? Why stop at 15? And here you got this woman. I'm trying to find this quote here. Rebecca Cornick, 61. 61 years old. Now check this crap out, right? 61 years old. Says she had to be in Times Square to keep fighting for workers across the U.S. I am here to support all workers. One by one, we are going to knock down every state until they win $15 like we did, she said. And she's got this $15 fight for 15, or pound sign fight for 15. We need to target them, people, because they're Looney Tunes. Cornick works. Now, check this out. She's 60. What did I say she was? 61. She's 61, right? She works at Wendy's, making salads and manning the grill. She works full time and makes $10.50 an hour, but still struggles to make ends meet. Oh God, I'm struggling to make ends meet at $10.50 an hour. Well, why don't you go out there and get you some education, girl? Why don't you go out there and get you some education and get a different job that pays you something more than $10.50 an hour? You're almost making $11. I don't get it with these people. You got a burger flipping machine out there that can sit there and sack your burger, take your order, or it can go from the beginning, from the drive-in all the way out to the drive-through, and take your burger, get it sacked up, get your condiments on it, cook it, all that kind of stuff, and put it in a bag for you and shove it out the door to you. 375 burgers an hour it can do. And this woman is sitting there, but she still struggles to make ends meet. And where's this coming from? I'm trying. I got to figure it. Oh, the Guardian. Oh, good God. No wonder. Okay. So you got all these people walking around with 15 signs. 15, 15. When I get to 15, she said, it will be enough to make ends meet. But until then, it's a struggle, she said. Since she lives in Brooklyn, well, maybe that's a freaking problem. Did you ever think about that? She should see her minimum wage go up to $15 an hour by the year 2020. It feels far away, but the success has given me a little gas to go on, baby. I'm really thrilled to have won the fight. What fight? You're going to lose the fight because you're going to be out of job, honey. I'm just telling you, I'm getting my neck going all over the place. You're going to be out of job because people ain't going to be wanting to pay no $8 for a stupid hamburger because you're charging $15 an hour to make it. You see what I'm saying, huh, honey? You see what I'm saying? I will fight for that every day. She wants a union, she said on Thursday. It's important for us to have dignity on the job. Dignity. Dignity at a fast food restaurant. It don't exist. I'm just telling you, it don't exist. Before we won the $15, I don't think it was possible. But when we won, that boosted my self-confidence and made me want to fight even more for the union. As the union workers marched from McDonald's down Broadway, they passed by Forever 21 store where workers danced in support. They danced in support. Yes, they danced in support. No matter where we work, McDonald's still affects our lives, says Stephanie Rodriguez, who works at Forever 21 in the Bronx. According to her, McDonald's sets the standard for every major corporation. I'm a member of the fight for $15 because it's all about workers, about creating an economy that works for us all. The workers also stopped by a nearby Verizon store where workers who went on strike over the contract negotiations on Wednesday led them in the chant. What do we fight? Corporate greed. What do we want? A union job. Labor unions across the U.S. have a significant part of the fight of the $15 movement. Because you know why? I'm sorry about the black talk. I can get down black damn dirty with y'all. I'm just saying I can do that. I can do Snoop Dogg and all that. But you know why the unions want the $15 an hour minimum wage? Because the minimum wage is tied into the union's dues donations and what they get per hour, what they get per hour. If they can raise the minimum wage, they can up their union dues. And if they get more people on the union dole, then see that all, it's all tied in. It's all tied into each other. So then they get more people contributing to them. That's why they want the minimum wage at $15 an hour. Please don't tell anybody I said so. It's a big secret. Shut up. All right, here we go. Weird universe. All right. We got some strange stuff going on here, and I was trying to find it. It went away. Oh, here we go. No, that's not it. Now, I can get some black talk going on. I'm just telling you, man. Here's a Rube Goldberg. This is, wait a minute now. What am I doing? I didn't even load this. I think I can do it. I'm the train that could. I think I can do it. Let's see if we can. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening to us tonight. I mean, the interview I thought went pretty well. I mean, the book is great. I mean, Larry Taunton, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, the most notorious atheist in the country. I mean, check it out. Check out the book. It's a very good book. And it's in my face, too, and we're running a little bit late, but that's okay because Blog Talk will probably cut me off. But the thing is that Mixler will not. That's a good thing. That's why you guys are listening on Mixler. So you're listening to American by Design, and if you want to call late, you can. I might be up for a while. It's 657-383-1908, but that's Blog Talk, so you might have to call my other number that I'm going to give out to people that I want to kill. Now, this is a Rube Goldberg accident. Check this one out. This is funny. An unusual accident recently occurred outside a post office in Kingmount, West Virginia, has elements of a Rube Goldberg contraption. An 87-year-old woman, which, okay, look, I understand people want to drive, they want their self-dependence and all that kind of stuff. When you're 87 years old, for God's sakes, don't be driving because there's other people on the road besides you. But she was backing out of her parking spot when she accidentally hit the accelerator. This caused her car to spin 180 degrees and hit a van. Okay, now this is kind of like the mouse that knocked over. You know, I don't remember that nursery rhyme all that way, but... the van was knocked to the side and hit a Jeep. The Jeep started to roll forward and hit a concrete barrier. The poles holding the concrete barrier in place snapped, and the barrier fell over, landing on the foot of a 75-year-old Patricia Perry. Or Piercy, I'm sorry. Piercy was subsequently taken to the hospital for a foot injury. She was the only one hurt. I mean, that is Rube Goldberg, pretty much. I mean, one thing leads to another. I mean, I'm glad that the 75-year-old Patricia Piercy was not hurt bad. I'm glad nobody was hurt bad. But the thing is that that was... It's in my face, too. Just a quick thing on the website. Background, just real quick, all right? The reason I'm doing this new website is to give us a facelift, and I wanted to get news on there on the front page and then have the forums and the interaction and with Buddy Press and all that kind of stuff that we got going on, or I got going on right now. Y'all ain't seen it yet, but I'm going to start probably introducing some of y'all in the next week or two to it, and you can critique me. I don't care. I got thick skin. You know, I ain't got to grow like another layer of skin. But what I want to do is for years and years and years, I wanted to get a news website together where people would come get some news, the conservative news, that kind of thing, even some maybe off the cuff news and that kind of stuff, and then have a forum and chat and interaction and that kind of stuff with Facebook and all these other places. I wanted to wean myself off Facebook because I really hate it. I really do. I'm just saying, I just hate it. But that's where I stand right now. And actually right now, I had to diagnose a couple plugins that weren't working correctly together in the sandbox. And I got that figured out. So hopefully in the next week, you guys, I'll start inviting some of you over, and it'll be pretty much a test situation until I get the databases all ported over. That's going to be a little bit longer, but that's my, I was thinking final solution came into my mind. I don't know why that came into my mind, but anyways, that's what my justification on this website is to be about, is to get people to read news and then actually look and see comments and see all this other stuff going on, you know, and then and relate to it. So we've got a lot of great grandiose things, and they're not things that can't be done. It just, some of this stuff is taking me time because it's just like I'm just one dude working on this, and it takes a little bit of time, it takes a little bit of money, and like I said earlier at the opening, is like, if Barbie's so damn popular, then why do you got to buy all her friends? Because that's how WordPress is seeming to stack up for me. So, but anyways, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will go out and get Larry Talkman's book, because the dude's been on Fox and been on MSNBC and CNN and all these other places talking about the you know, Christopher Hitchens, and just the way it's a great book. I mean, I read all the way through, and normally I got to tell you, I don't read books all the way through. I mean, I read every single thing, and then this book I had to go back and read more. I had to go back and read it again to make sure I got the gist of everything that was going on. That's the sign to me of a good book. When you go back into a book and you read it again, you know, and I want $15 an hour so I can read that book. Right? Now I'm doing my redneck accent. I want $15 an hour because I read his book. See? You say, I think I deserve that. I think I do. Anyways, thank you all for joining us. And more impressions next week on American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. Thank you. Love you all. And take care. Be good to each other.
Deep down in his heart, he knew he was right. He cleared the way for you and me. You can still hear his spirit sing. I am America. This land is my. Grandpa volunteered for the war across the ocean. There's no price for his country he wouldn't pay. Like so many others, he fought for the cause with great devotion. Okay.
keep listening to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher, with special guest, Larry Taunton, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Get it on Amazon.com and basically all over the place. Love y'all. Good night. God bless. Take care.